control. Hot dog karke girl. Hot dog karke girl. Siti baja ke bol. Life out of control. Hot dog karke girl. Hot dog karke girl. Siti baja ke bol. अंडे का क्या होगा? हर लाइफ मिलेगी या तवे पे फ्राई होगा? कोई न जाने अपना फ्यूचर क्या होगा? होट घुमाओ सीढ़ी बजा के बोल भैया
sectors.
Well, I'm going to leave this question to you now. All of these are happening. Is it true that this is a ploy to cut the influence of...
You asking me that question?
Yes.
Is
your government owing contractors the way
to... I would like to... You sent me to go and work in Abuja and I'm a senator in Abuja. I'm not a member of this thing.
Has it achieved what it was meant to achieve, sir?
I'm not in the position.
No, but you are members on the...
The court
you are representatives.
Hello?
On
the question you're asking me.
It is Frank Talk, Quality Talk. Taking it from all angles. Policy and politics played out by our politicians and policy makers. Join me, Femi Olanipekun, your host on Frank Talk, 9 to 10 a.m. every weekday on Rain 91.7 FM, where we have frank discussions and give you quality talk. Always.
Let's turn it up.
Relax and unwind because we're going live. 91.7 Wave FM.
right, good morning. Very wet Friday morning right in the beautiful city of Oshogbo, the capital of Osun State. Thank you so much for staying locked on to Rave 91.7 FM, that amazing radio station where we give you beautiful music and spice it up with quality talk for you. It's that exciting radio for all of us, cutting across all ages. My name is Femi Olanipek. I'm so happy to have you on board the last edition of Frank Talk for this week. Frank Talk is where we look at issues as it affects us in this country, issues trending in the polity, policies of government and politics as they're played out by policy makers and indeed the politicians. Yesterday at the Lekan Salami Stadium in Adamasingba, Ibadan, yesterday we had leaders of thought, Yoruba leaders of thought, cutting across party divides, religious, you know, ethnic, different ethnic groups of the Yoruba nation converging on that very iconic stadium, taking a stand on restructuring for the Yoruba nation. It was, we had many people, politicians, religious leaders, traditional rulers, everyone right there, chaired by Aria Feba Balola, talking about this new buzzword in our nation's lexicon and vocabulary. Well, we've been talking about restructuring, and like people have said, it's been different things to different people, but the Yoruba nation yesterday to look at that. So we'll be joined shortly live on the line from Ibadan, Abuja, the Federal Capital Territory, by former Minister of Aviation and the chieftain of the PDP, was also part of that particular summit yesterday. And well, he'll be speaking to us on that issue and some of the other issues in the nation as we speak today. My guest this morning on Frank Talk is Chief Femi Fani Kayo, the former Minister of Aviation and the chieftain of the People's Democratic Party, will be joining us right here on the program today on a Frank Talk. Well, just to give you some other insights, many people there yesterday at that particular program, Arafa Bolola chairing it, and we had top leaders across political divides at that particular meeting, and then there was also support from the Southeast and also the South, Chivine Nwodo, the President General of the Onaiza Ndigbo, leading the team from the South East, and Chief Albert Osfall leading the team from the South there. Joining us live on the line this time. Well, we'll be joined shortly by Chief Femi Fani Kayode, well, former Minister of Aviation, to look at some of these issues, especially the standpoint of the Yoruba for restructuring and other issues in the nation. Yesterday was a very, very good gathering. Well, Chief Fani Kayode joins us live on the line. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Front Talk on Rave 91.7. FM.
Hello.
Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on Frank Talk and Rave 91.7 FM, sir.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Good morning.
Well, you were at the Yoruba Summit yesterday. Tell us, what really does the Yoruba nation want? What was the essence of that summit yesterday?
Well, basically, the fundamental point and the principle that was established was the fact that the people of Yoruba land, the people of the southwestern region of Nigeria, or the southwestern zone of Nigeria, have firmly come to the position that restructuring is the only way forward, that this country needs to be restructured and it needs to be done quickly. And that restructuring should be done on a regional basis. In other words, we should return to something similar to the zones or the regions that we had in the First Republic. And if that's the consensus, and of course the communique is clear, that is what the Yoruba people want.
Well, there are people who believe that this new buzzword, restructuring, is coming from people who lost out at the last elections. Former governor of Edo State, Adam Sashomale, had a function in Abuja some time ago, not too long ago. I even raised that particular point, saying, well, these people calling for restructuring are people who lost out at the last elections.
I don't think that Atiku Abubakar lost the election. He was in the APC. I don't think Babangida lost the election. I don't think that the elements of the Ohanaeze lost the election. I don't think the Niger Delta Elders lost the election. I don't think Afenifere lost the election. I don't think Yoruba Council of Elders or OPC lost the election. I don't think the Middle Belt Forum lost the election. I don't think that the overwhelming majority of people in this country, across party lines, not necessarily APC or PDP or anything else, mainly non-politicians, I don't think they lost any election. I think we should stop. You know, I mean, Oshiomhole was talking absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. I've responded to this on a television interview on AIT a few days back. And I reiterate it here. He is talking absolute rubbish. He's lost touch with reality. And as he said that, he was booed by the audience that he was addressing. He was at some lecture or something, and the crowd booed him for saying that. We should stop, you know, continuously acting as if this thing is not an important issue and it's not a reality. You said the new buzzword. There's nothing new about restructuring. Restructuring, the cause for restructuring has been alive and has been fought for since 1947. If you read Chief Awolowo's book, Paths to Nigerian Freedom, published in 1947, where he spoke about the need for a certain level of separate development amongst the ethnic nationalities in this country, that we're not all the same, and we must have our own way of doing things. We must have basically autonomous regions so that every ethnic group can rise up to its full potential. And that has been collectively denied our people since independence. We've never had that. We've never had our own constitution. Everything is north, north, north. They always impose their will on us. They always hold us back. They have a power of veto because they fix the numbers. And I, for one, am fed up with this suggestion, this idea that we should be held to ransom by them. Well, yesterday, everything changed. For the first time in many, many years, all the groups and all the factions in Yorubaland came together. All our governors were represented there. Some were there in person, but all were represented. All our leaders were there across various Yoruba social political groups. They were all there yesterday. Those who were not there, those that were not there were represented. And we spoke with one point. I, for one, on my own, you know, my own view personally is that we should have gone even further than that, you know, and put a proviso that if we don't get restructuring, we should move towards a Dudua Republic. But that view is not a view that was reflected there, and that is my personal opinion, although I know many people hold it. But we haven't got there yet. What we're saying is that if we want to save Nigeria, then for goodness sake, get rid of this idea of some of us being slaves, southerners and middle belters being slaves, and allow us to have a certain level of autonomy, devolve power from the center, let us have control of our own destiny in our region, and let us move our people forward.
Well, you know,
that was the position, yes.
Okay, let's look at it. You know, are you, on this issue of the urbanization for restructuring, are you talking about regional political structure or how try to do our republic?
Look, I've just said to you, what we said yesterday, what we resolved, and the communique is clear, is that we need to have, you know, restructuring based on regional lines. That is the position of the Yoruba nation as at today. The Yoruba people of Nigeria have adopted that position wholeheartedly, and that was manifested by the Ibadan Declaration yesterday. What I am saying personally, and I know this is the view of many, it's not necessary, I'm not going to mention names, but many of us believe that if that is not done, what is going to happen is that there will be an implosion in this country. This country will break up. And what will happen is that the cry for secession and the cry for the establishment of the Dudua Republic will become far more pronounced and manifest and will eventually be realized.
Well, Chief,
it cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped unless we devolve power from the center and allow people to achieve their full potential and allow for them to feel as if they're free people and not slaves and not vassals.
Well, you know, there are people who still believe that the call for us to return to the regional, you know, system of government is not the way to go. They said that even the 1963, you know, structure we had was what led us to the civil war then. And a private secretary to, you know, Chief Obafemi Awolowo, Odiafemi, who also last week was talking about the fact that that wasn't, you know, a perfect system, that it was also fraught with its own challenges. That, you know, people just saying we need to go back to regionalism are not just being fair and being truthful.
No, Odia does not believe that we should not have devolution of power restructure. I know him very, very well. What he was saying was that there were issues in the First Republic, and there will always be issues in terms of governance anywhere in the world. No system is perfect. But we are talking about the emancipation of a whole nation. That's what we're talking about. The Yorubas have been cheated. They have been murdered. They have been jailed. They have been humiliated. They have been insulted. by the same people over and over again. And you know who those people are. They jailed Awolowo. They killed Abiola. They incarcerated Obasanjo. When he came out and he became president, they turned a Sharia on him because they wanted to destabilize government. The same people unleashed Boko Haram on Jonathan. The same people turned a vice president that we have today, when he became acting, into a coordinator because they don't believe anybody from this part should have power. The same people believe they own Nigeria. The same people believe that every southern and every middle belter is a slave.
But you former president, I mean your former principal.
Let me finish. You yes. And I know this. Now, what we are saying is that we are fed up with it, and we need to have a certain amount of autonomy, and we must be emancipated as a people, to be able to develop and achieve our full potential. And that's what we are fighting for. And what they're saying is that we must do it in a lawful, constitutional, reasonable, and rational manner, and agitate for restructuring of the Federation. And Nadeko did it during the time of just after Abiola was incarcerated, and it's our turn to carry the baton and do it today. And that yesterday's resolution has made this matter a fixed law, as they say. It's no longer an academic exercise. It's no longer a simple matter of debate. The Yoruba nation has taken a position, and that position stands. And unless it is accorded the full respect that it ought to be accorded, the agitation will continue. And I tell you something, if you do not listen to the elders and the leaders of Yoruba land and do the right and proper thing, what will happen is the extremist nationalist groups will eventually take over, sweep those of us on the reasonable aside, and demand the establishment of the Yoruba Republic. Well, that is the reality that we have to live with.
Well, I mean, interestingly, your former principal, who is also one of Yoruba leaders, one of Nigeria's other statesmen as we speak today, former President Olusegun Obasanjo does not believe in this clamor for restructuring. He is instead saying that we should restructure our mindset and our attitude to the Nigerian Federation.
President Obasanjo, who is somebody that I will always have immense respect for. I was his minister, I was his spokesman. I was minister 10 years ago, I was a spokesman 13 years ago, and I have immense respect and affection for him. I disagree with him, and unfortunately for him, he is in a very small minority on this issue for reasons best known to himself. That is his view, and he's entitled to it. Perhaps he's stuck in the past, I don't know. But the issue is this. The Yoruba people have spoken. All of us have come together. There might be a few dissenting voices here and there, but once the majority has spoken in Yoruba land and all our leaders and others, everybody else must sit back and accept the voice of the Yoruba people. Obasanjo may have his views. Those are his views, he's entitled to them. I would never disrespect him because I happen to have immense affection for him. But that is just his view, just as others have their own views. But once he's spoken as a people, I believe that we should stand on that and we should move forward, regardless of the fact that some believe that we should remain stuck in the past. The Nigeria of today is different to the Nigeria of 10 years ago. It's different to the Nigeria of 20 years ago. And it's different to the Nigeria of 50 years ago. We have new challenges now, and we are at a critical stage now. We've always fought for the unity of this country. And my fear, and the fear of the Yoruba leaders, is that if we do not restructure this country, there's a very good chance that this country will break up. And we don't want that. We are trying to reform the country, have constitutional restructuring, devolution of power, resource control, derivation as a principle of revenue allocation, and so on and so forth. These are the fundamental principles of any federation. We don't have a federation in Nigeria. We have a unity state with a federal facade, and that unity state at the center is being controlled and guided by a very vicious, religious, Muslim fundamentalist, and Fulani supremacist cabal. But who believe that they must lord it over the rest of us, and we're not prepared to accept that.
Well, Chief, some people are saying, I mean, restructure as you may, whatever restructuring you do to the Nigerian situation at the moment, if you don't have, that restructuring of the mindset, looking at that statement of Trump president in context, that no matter structure you put up again, if you have this same present crop of leaders who have the same set of challenges.
I don't know what you're talking about or what you mean when you say that. First of all, when you say these leaders, which leaders are you talking about?
The current crop of leaders.
Which leaders are you talking about? Listen, it's up to the people who they elect. If you elect a dog, you will get a dog as a leader. It's a very simple principle here. What we are saying is this. The system is rigged. You need to have constitutional reform, even to have the type of leaders that you want. Not a leader, for example, in Yoruba land or anywhere else in the country that is installed in power simply because those in the north believe that is the man that they can use, that's their man Friday, and that is their slave that they can use to empower, that they can use to impose their will on their on the Yoruba people, which is what has been happening for so many years. Now, thankfully for us in the South, as we've resisted that quite effectively, and we've had very credible, very good leaders, and I take issue with anybody that will suggest that the leadership of the Yorubas, whether I agree with them or not, whether they're in APC or PDP or in any other group that I'm opposed, I will be very careful about referring to the leadership of the Yorubas even today as being people that need to have their minds reformed. I think those that say such things are the ones that need to have their own minds reformed. If you want to talk about reformation of mindset, please go to those that believe they own Nigeria. We've been treated as slaves. Every southerner, including you, every southerner, every middle belter in this country today knows very well that we are nothing but slaves in Nigeria. And what we are saying is that it is enough. Let us restructure. Let us take our own destiny into our own hands. Let us control our own affairs in our various region like we used to do. And let us move forward. When we had that in the early 60s, the southwest of Nigeria, the western region, as it was called then, was the most advanced region, the most advanced part of the whole of the African continent. We are far ahead of Ireland, we are far ahead of South Africa, we are far ahead of Malaysia, we are far ahead of everybody. Everybody knows this. The facts are there. And under the leadership of Awolowo and then Akintola, we did so well. But they crippled all that. They formed, they established a new centralized government, brought in military constitutions, which were born by military dictators who believed that Nigeria must be at the behest, under the full control of a Hausa Fulani cabal or a northern cabal. We know what's going on here. What we are saying is enough of that. It is time for us to be emancipated. And the first step towards emancipation is restructuring. If you have restructuring, there's hope for Nigeria. That we will all do well and we'll get on very well.
Right.
If you do not allow restructuring, I assure you, everything will change in this country. It's only a matter of time before this country breaks up.
Okay, so I've been looking at how to go about this restructuring. Now, do you suggest that government does the constitutional conference and report of, every...
Well, there are many ways to go about it. First of all, the easiest thing to have done would have been to go through the National Assembly. But the problem you have there is that the National Assembly is rigged for the North. And therefore, what they have is a power of veto. The other day, there was a certain element of, there was an argument and there was a push to have devolution of power up to a certain extent at the Senate. And of course, those that wanted that devolution of power lost by 2 votes at the Senate. Only 2 votes. There was a time when only 2 or 3 people would talk about it there. Now, I think it was 43 to 45 or something. You can see how far we have come. But even that is not good enough. I believe that what you probably need to do is have, a new conference, another conference of ethnic nationality or conference of regions where people elect their leaders to go and form and fashion a new constitution. We have never, ever, ever had a constitution established in this country that came and was made as a consequence of the will of the Nigerian people. Every constitution that we have had has had no-go areas and so on and so forth, and essentially were established by various military governments. Why can we not establish and have our own constitution? We've never even had a referendum in this country in terms of whether we want to remain together as one, or if we do want to remain together as one, under what terms will we remain together? These are the fundamental issues that need to be explored, and these are the things that we need to establish. We need to do this. And for us to continue as if we don't have any problem, that is what has led to a kind of crisis that you have in the southeastern part of the country today and in parts of the Middle Belt, where people are openly calling, and I'd also add Niger Delta, where people are openly calling for secession. Because they're saying, look, enough is enough. We will not be held down like this. And I'm hoping and praying that a time will not come that Yoruba sons and daughters are not mowed down and killed in the streets like they're killing the Igbos today on a daily basis. They're killing the IPOB youth today on a daily basis. I hope it never happens to our people. I hope that we don't also get a quick notice one day that all our people should leave the north by October the 1st, and then after people begin to say this is wrong, they say they will suspend it. I mean, think of the arrogance of that. Let's hope it never happens to us, but let's learn from the experiences of others. Niger Deltans are suffering. Igbos are being killed. Middle Beltans are being killed by Fulani herdsmen every day. And we sit here and we act as if there's no fire in this country. Look, there's a major fire, and that fire will consume us all unless we restructure, or unless we change our ways, take our destiny into our own hands, and demand, as the Yoruba people have said, as from yesterday, that this country should be restructured.
Well, you made reference to the crisis in the Southeast. There is a man, you know, that's been seen as the symbol of the struggle over there, Nnamdi Kanu. And there's been talk about the fact that what he's doing, you know, aside being quite divisive, is also like the basis of, you know, of what we have as hate speech in the country today. I recall some time back, you wrote some curtain pieces about the ego. I'm just concerned, I'm just wondering, what's the newfound love for you about the
Eagles? First of all, it's not a newfound love. You've said about three things in that, so let's try and break it down step by step. Let me start with the last one that you said about the newfound love, so-called newfound love, and why, you know, I said things about it. Of course I did. When the Eagles said that they owned Lagos, and when they made statements which I considered to be factually incorrect, particularly historical statements, of course, I rose to the occasion, and we had a historical debate, which was a very, very interesting one, which I stated my views about what the Igbos have been doing in Nigeria since the 1940s, and so on and so forth, vis-a-vis the Yorubas. And I am very proud of the fact that I took a position at that time, and I still hold to those views, that they made a lot of mistakes. Now, I haven't changed any of that. What I object to is the fact that, you know, and I've always said this, that whether you're Igbo, Niger Delta, or Yoruba, we all have the same master. The greater evil, the greatest evil, and the greatest evil of all are those that believe they own us all and that we're all slaves. And I believe that when the Northerners are killing Igbos and are slaughtering them, and when we have subjected the Igbos to so much in the past, we killed 2 million of their children during 2 million of them during the Civil War. We starved their children to death. We did so many things to them. That is also a fact of history. And I will not sit back and say because we had a debate, I will overlook those facts. The Igbos are being murdered on a daily basis, and I feel bad about that. I believe strongly in Southern solidarity. I believe strongly that human beings are human beings and not animals. And if an Igbo person is being killed, his rights are being violated, I should be one of the first to stand up and say, this is wrong, and I will stand against those that do it. So I have no regrets about that. You spoke about Nnamdi Kanu. He's a friend of mine. I have immense respect for him. I call him the Lion of the East. He's a man that has stood up for his people and said enough is enough. He's a man that's been treated unfairly. He's also a man that has said things against the Yorubas in the past, and he has withdrawn all those statements publicly. He has said he's changed his mind. He will never say such a thing about Yorubas again. And he's somebody that has spoken up for me when the Northerners threatened to kill me. And he's not a Yoruba person. He's an Igbo person. So let's not talk about having disagreements in the past and act as if to say, because we once disagreed, we shouldn't agree today. We have a common enemy. We have a common cause. We have a common a struggle. And it is in our best interest to set aside the differences between the Igbos and the Yorubas once and for all, to build bridges, to come together with our brothers in the South and the Middle Belt, and to fight the common enemy and fight for our rights as a people.
Okay.
Finally, let me add this. I happen to be married to an Igbo woman. I happen to have an Igbo son, a son who is half Igbo, half Yoruba. So I am fully integrated with the Igbos, regardless of whatever differences I may have had with them in the past. And I'm very proud of that. The way forward, if you want a united Nigeria, is to integrate and to mix with others from other parts of the country. However, they must be people that regard your people, that is the Yoruba people, as human beings, as equals, not as slaves. And that is why I will never bow down to anybody that regards my people, the Yoruba people of the Southwest, as a slave. And you know those that believe we're slaves. They're not the Igbos. You know who they are.
Well, Chief Anikayode, tell me what you make of efforts by the federal government, stemming the tide of what they call hate speech. The acting president there, the vice president, when he was acting president, talked about equating it to terrorism.
Sure, let me be very quick on that one. It's a very simple thing. I've written about it. I've spoken about it. Let me just add this to what I've said before. Okay? The architects of hate speech in this country are the APC. The architects of hate speech are the APC. There's nothing they did not say about President Jonathan. They insulted his wife and called her a hippopotamus. They insulted Jonathan and called him clueless. They insulted everything and everybody that opposed them. They insulted their way in power. They preached hate. They also said, Buhari himself said, that if he didn't win the election, the dog and the baboon, the whole street would be soaked in their blood. I don't know of a greater hate speech than that. Not only did they didn't limit their activities to hate speech, they even went as far as to kill people. Buhari supporters slaughtered our supporters.
Strong allegations here, but Chief Lode said two wrongs don't make a right, and people talk about the fact that all of these are actually what led to the Rwandan genocide, that we should not go that way.
Answer the question that you asked me. If you don't want me to answer it, we will end this conversation. You asked me a question. I'm telling you, those that are talking about it, you don't want to hear the answer, because they don't want your audience to hear the truth. Now, I will repeat this. The people that are talking about hate speech today, and that they didn't just talk hate speech, they also allowed their supporters to slaughter those that opposed them. The NYSC students that were slaughtered simply for being Southerners and Christians in the north by Buhari's support, you're not talking about that. They're not talking about the Fulani herdsmen that kill Christians and kill people, Southerners, all over the north and in the south. They don't regard that as a hateful act. They're not talking about the fact that every single time they open their mouth, they call us looters, they call us beasts, they call us animals. That's not hate speech. It's only when we criticize them and we say this government is a lousy government, a wicked government, a divisive government, a government that has set the various religious faiths in this country against one another and has set tribes and ethnic groups against one another, a government of Fulani supremacy. Then when we say that, they will now say it's hate speech. It's rubbish. Let me tell you what they're doing. And you should be very interested in this. What they're trying to do is to suppress the freedom of speech so that they're not exposed for what they are. And no matter what they do, no matter what they say, the truth will come out.
Okay, Chief.
I or anyone has never, ever said or advocated the killing of other people or the killing of other of a religious group or the killing of an ethnic group. None of us. I have never said that. What we have done is criticize government. They are the ones that do the killing. They are the ones that say the hateful things. So if hate speech is to stop in this country, let them start with themselves.
Okay. To come in here, they still say the point still here is that two wrongs don't make a right, and they make reference to the civil war right in Nigeria. They make reference to the Rwandan genocide.
I didn't get what you said. Could you please repeat that?
Well, I'm saying that the point still is that they say two wrongs don't make a right. They say hate speech was what caused the Rwandan genocide in Rwanda. And also make reference to even the civil war right in Nigeria, that part of these speeches is actually what led to the civil war and exacerbated the situation then.
Evidently, you're not listening to me very carefully. I have just said to you that it is wrong, and neither has any of us, myself or anybody else, ever advocated the elimination of any other human being, whether that human being is a political opponent or whether that human being or that group of people are from any other part of this country or from any religious faith. We haven't done that. I haven't done that, and I don't believe any opposition figure has done that. Generally speaking, we haven't done that. They are the ones that have done that. They haven't just advocated it. They have done it. And why don't they first condemn what they have done themselves? We haven't done that. They have done. So when you talk about what happened in Rwanda, what happened in Rwanda is happening in Nigeria, but you don't report it because you know they don't want you to report it, and they'll sanction you if you report it. When last Christmas, 808 Christians were killed in Kaduna by Fulani herdsmen, what did you say about it? Is that not a hateful act? They were targeted for their religious faith. When all over the Middle Belt, Christians are being butchered by Fulani herdsmen in the south, in the east. The same people are killing. They won't talk about it. You won't report it because they won't want you to report it. That is a hateful act. That is hateful speech. And when they say things like, when they say things like, they will only, when the president says things like, he's only going to support the 97%, those that gave him 97% of their votes, and he will not support those that only gave him 5%, meaning the Igbos, that is hate speech, targeting a whole group of people. So for Shibajo or anybody else who starts telling us now the hate speech, they should start with themselves. They are the ones that started it. They're the ones that still do it. We don't do it. But let me tell you something. There's a distinction, and this is what you need to appreciate. There's a distinction between hate speech and criticism of government. Legitimate, lawful, harsh, strong criticism of government. And that is the lifeblood of democracy. If you allow them to take that away, we don't have a democracy left. Let me end with this. You mentioned the Civil War. The Civil War had nothing to do with hate speech. The Civil War had everything to do with violence against a group of people who were butchered. They were butchered in the middle of the night. They were butchered and they were killed. After they were butchered and killed, I'm talking about the two coups that took place. This was not hate speech. This was military action against leaders from different parts of the country at different times. After the second coup took place and the Igbo officers were butchered, about 300 of them, the next thing in one night, and the Igbo head of state and the Yoruba regional governor that stood by him, that's Faji, the next thing that happened is over 100,000 Igbos were slaughtered in the north. That has nothing to do with hate speech. That was hate itself, and that was murder and barbarity. After that, there was a civil war in which 2 million people were killed and 1 million Igbo children were starved to death.
Right.
That had nothing to do with hate speech. It had everything to do with an attempt to impose a hegemony on the rest of Nigeria and turn us into slaves. That is what caused it. And that sentiment, whether you like to accept it or not, is still very much in the minds and hearts of those that did it at that time. And that is why they can say they will kill every Igbo person that leaves that remains in the north unless they leave by October the 1st. And yet they're not even arrested and nobody condemns them. And no, the government does not say they're indulging in hate speech.
What's so funny, Kayode?
Let's be fair with each other and let's be honest.
Okay, well, you know, earlier on you made reference to the fact that, you know...
How will this interview go on, please?
Well,
I didn't...
It's been very interesting, and maybe we can have you for some few more minutes, really, Chief. But let me quickly ask you this. You made reference the other time into the fact that, I mean, some of you are called looters, but then the government has also said that your party did incalculable damage to the country in the last 16 years, and are saying that the fight against corruption is because it is your party that ruled the country for the last 16 years. For instance, your EFCC case, they saying it's because you served government and maybe you put your hand in the till.
The what case? Sorry, what was the last part? The what?
The EFCC case.
Look, listen to me very carefully. You can have a case in court. Your governor in your state, Osun State, which is also my state, where you are today, was accused of things before he became governor. Do you understand me?
Mm.
Was he found guilty? No. I was prosecuted for 7 years by the same PDP that I'm a member of. Was I found guilty? No. After 7 years, I was acquitted. You don't call somebody a looter until you've had him convicted in court. And you and I know very well that these are politically motivated cases, which are being carried out by a government that's scared of its own shadow and whose intention is to try to jail every single opposition figure and demonize the party that was in power before. That's the way it's played. That's the way the APC rolls. But let me tell you this, all right?
Mm.
You can say what you like and make any allegation that you like. When the time comes, when you get to court, the evidence will come out. We'll see what the truth is. And it is after somebody has been convicted, you can call him a looter. But when the vice president will continuously get up and call people looters, then you know that he is filled with nothing but hate, and he himself needs to have his mind renewed. He needs to be truly born again, because he's not a born again person. That is number one. Number two, you want to talk about corruption. Find out who funded Buhari's campaign. Was it Orochimi Amaechi when he was governor? Find out the role that Fashola played. Find out the role that Tinubu played. Find out what they did and what they are doing. And for the last 2 years, they have been doing nothing but looting and stealing and killing people and creating problems in this country. When I say killing, I'm talking about the 1,000 Shia Muslims who were murdered in Kaduna by our security force. I'm talking about the IPOB youth. I'm talking about all the money that has gone missing since they've come into power, not just at the federal level, even at the state level. I'm talking about Osun State, where you have a governor that hasn't paid salaries of civil servants for how long? Where has all the money gone? And they have the nerve to call other people looters? When they're out of power in 2019, we also look into the book. And I assure you, many of them will also be prosecuted for corruption. Not just that, some will go to the ICC for crimes against humanity, and some will simply go for killing Nigerians and urging Fulani herdsmen, organizing ethnic militias to kill those that oppose them. Let me assure you that's what. So they can call us loose as much as they like. You know, as long as you have not been convicted of anything, nobody has the right to call you a criminal. There's a presumption of innocence in this country, and allegations are a dime a dozen. You know that, and I know that.
Well, some very strong allegations, you know, that the two made there. But then, please stay with us for a few moments.
You have also made strong allegations about the previous government and also about the people.
Well, I just said what the present government has said about the previous government.
What we have here is that these guys believe they are the only ones that are allowed to make allegations. They're the only ones that... And you know the funny thing? You and I know the truth. 1,000 Shia Muslims were killed. Is that not true? Can I ask you that question? 1,000? Even their own commission of inquiry established that, though they lessened the figure. The matter is before the ICC right now. American lawyers have filed charges. These are facts. IPOB youths are being killed virtually every day, although the press doesn't like to report it. We won't talk about that. This is not an allegation. This is a fact, and it's reprehensible. And that's the kind of government that we have. See, some of us are not scared of these people. Some of us are not scared of anything, only God. And it is God that takes life and gives life. So at the end of the day, until you have more of us like that, nothing will change in this country. And by God's grace, everything will change.
Okay, well, permit me to ask you this last question, because, you know, you are from Osun State, yeah, and your people really listening, and, you know, we don't get to talk to you often like this. But then you are of the PDP. There's a PDP crisis. There was a PDP crisis, you know, that rocked the party from top to bottom. It's been solved at the national level, but right here in the southwest, and particularly here in Osun State, efforts are still on to try and solve permanently that particular crisis. Just yesterday, or day before yesterday, there was a Kereka committee set up to resolve that. What do you make of this crisis, and do you think you know, it's really tractable? Do you think it's actually going to be finally resolved?
Well, I mean, of course it has been resolved, not finally resolved. There was an issue, there was a government-imposed national chairman who was funded by the government, called Ali Modu Sherif, who was an agent of the APC federal government to destroy our party.
But your governors brought him into your party.
No. Sorry?
Yeah, Governor Adele Fayoshe and Governor Yesom Wike were the ones who brought him into the party.
No, they were. They made a genuine mistake, and they said so themselves. Listen, I opposed that man from day one. I was the only one in the party that saw through him from day one. And I said it publicly. You may not know. I took him on directly from day one, the day after he announced it. I called Fayoshe and I called Wike the night they were making that decision. I said, this is a mistake. They said, no, this is what they wanted. I said, fine, but you will regret it, and so will we all. And I opposed it from that point. I spoke to Mimiko, I spoke to Omishori, asked them, I told all of them. And I went on Channel TV and I said, this man is a Boko Haram person, he's a murderer, he's this, he's that, he's an agent of the government.
Those are strong allegations. Those are strong words.
He's threatened to sue me, he never sued me. Now, because I was speaking the truth. Then the war started. After a while, the same Wike and Fayoshe you just mentioned also agreed with me. The ministers forming the party agreed with me. The PDP, the elders forum, the PDP elders forum agreed with me. Everybody came out to my position, and then we now mobilized against this man. When we mobilized against him, we went to court, and of course it was a protracted battle, and eventually, you know, 95% of the party were on our side. Eventually, we won in court, and this government imposter was thrown out. Now, what happened after that was that there were some factions in various states, in some parts of the state, because he had managed to divide the party in some parts, including Osun State. And thankfully, that matter has been resolved because the caretaker committee has been set up. And that caretaker committee comprised of people from both factions, so we are now one. And it's important for us to be one because we need to get Aregbesola out of power in Osun State. And we need to get the APC federal government out of power in 2019. And so we are one now. And no matter what anybody says, that is the reality. We will work together. I have friends, for example, I have friends on both sides of the divide in Oshun, or what was once a divide. I have nothing but greatest respect for Baba Shaibu Oyedokun. I have nothing but respect for him. And of course, Yola Omishori is my friend and my brother and my kinsman. So what am I to do? I also have, you know, people like Wale Ladipo are my personal friends. He's also my kinsman. I'm not going to go on one side or the other when it comes to that. We are one party. We are one. We fight in one accord. We've built the bridges. We'll continue to build the bridges throughout the Southwest, throughout the country. And we will now form one strong, united team against this evil government that has managed to, you know, find itself in power by hook or by crook, and that seeks to destroy and eliminate and jail and humiliate every single one of us. And they will fail, in Jesus' name.
Well, Desmond Vintage, Chief Olufemi Fanikayode, he is a poet, a lawyer, but distinguished the son of Ileife here in Oshun State. He's a chief of the old bloc, a politician, an orator. Some people believe he's very controversial. He doesn't suffer fools gladly.
Controversy is the essence of life.
Well, it's refuted.
Without being controversial. You must take, leaders lead, you know, followers follow.
Many people believe you are deeply, deeply controversial. They know that's your view.
I love it. Thank you so much.
But then we appreciate you. We'll look forward to speaking with you some other time again.
Sure, anytime. Thank you so much,
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All
right. Thank you. All right. Well, Chief Femi Fanikayode there joining us live on this edition of Frank Talk and Rave 91.7 FM, former Minister of Aviation and former spokesman of former President Chief Olusegun Obasanjo. Looking at a wide range of issues there, from restructuring the summit held yesterday, down to issues within the political scene right here in Nigeria. We've on the phone lines for you. We would have loved him to stay back with us to take in some of those questions you would have love to throw in, but then he has to go. Let's open the phone line so you get your comments in. We'd like you to keep it short, keep it simple, keep it civil, and most importantly, let's have this conversation now.
You can now join the conversation by calling 0703-175-9177. 0703-175-9177. And 0902-427-3808. You can equally make use of our social media platforms. For WhatsApp, 0703-175-9173. 0703-175-9173. Tweet at us at Rave917FM. And Facebook is Rave917FM. Don't remember to turn down the volume on your radio set or move away from it. And please, let's keep our comments civil. Thank you.
Take the first call here. Hello, good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Emmanuel from Malaysia. Good morning.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
Yeah, what an eloquent. I call him Lion of the West. Yeah, with all these revelations, and I know most Nigerians will now believe that injustice has been done. And those people calling for sustainment are not wrong. And I want to say restructuring is the only thing that can keep Nigeria hanging. Or else you are postponing evil day.
All right, thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you very much. What's anywhere you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Comrade Taufik. I'm calling from Oshogbo.
Thank you, Comrade Taufik.
Yeah, the person you're about today speak very well, but I'm disappointed in him in some areas. The issue is this: when he was in government, because he rightly says it was right from our level where they had the issue of restructuring. Why, when he was in government, none of them mentioned it? I can go to Shomole because they lost the election. That was why they're drumming for the restructuring now. You see, one thing to bear in mind. When you're in position, you realize there's a mistake. When you're there, please try to fix it. But after you left. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
What's your name? Mr. Lawal, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oshogbo.
Thank you, Mr. Lawal. Well, we don't control your schedule, Mr. Lawal. We don't control your schedule. Sometimes we had to get them to squeeze out the time they spend with us. Thank you.
That is understandable. That is understandable.
Yeah.
As regards the and our policy, I don't know why Nigeria for those issues. We are going to
On Twitter, we have, Areola Demeji, tweeting at Real Olademeji, saying, your guest seems to be complicating the issue. He said they imprisoned the late sage, Chief Awolowo. Please, can you ask him? And this one is also saying, if Akintola and his own father didn't work for Awolowo imprisonment, he said, Kanu have apologies for the unprintable words against Yoruba. And this man said, my name is Ayomide Victory. I'm a Yoruba and I stand with Nigeria restructuring. Oluwase Ken Wood also on Twitter is saying, restructuring is the only solution to Nigeria problems. Enough is enough. Anyway, aside that, the Dua Republic must stand. And Golan Isiak is saying, we won't use such words, but then it's not on the same page with Femi Fanikayode. He said, check those your interview on your program. We decide we will bring on the program people of different shades and opinion. That's what we do right here on the program. And also, Olua Sheyi, another message is saying concerning the issues about the so called hate speech is just a means to silence the position and opposition parties and others. And Ariella, the media also saying, apologies to Wu. Why didn't he stand up for restructuring when he was in government? If your guest says hate speech didn't contribute, to that message, did not. And there, and Zacchaeus from Madakaka is saying, good morning, kudos to Yoruba leaders for coming together to organize such a meritorious summit held in Ibadan yesterday. Yoruba Nation has spoken that it is restructuring by going back to 1963 constitution of Oduduwa, or Oduduwa Republic, and that is the only solution to the problem of Nigeria. And, these are the messages. Richard from Oshogbo is saying, good morning, Mr. Fim. I think part of what our leaders, Yoruba leaders, should first address is a greed attitude where Yoruba youth will ask for help from some Yoruba man in position to help, I will not, and see other tribe help themselves. To me, I don't believe in any of them because they are too greedy. Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. So tell me where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Mr. Sunday from Oshogbo.
Mr. Sunday, I'd like for you to turn down the volume radio set.
Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You have 30 seconds, Mr. Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. I watch Beg on Nigerians. Let us leave the parties divide. Let us talk about the issue that is dividing us. Nigeria needs restructuring. And there is a hard time for all Nigerians to start appreciating Nnamdi Kanu. Because if it's not in Nnamdi Kanu, this restructuring will not come up. So let us.
Thank you, Mr. Sunday. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
What's the name where you're calling from?
My name is Wadi Oladapo.
Thank you, Mr. Oladapo.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oshogbo.
All right.
Well, while I believe Nigeria needs restructuring, I want to believe that what we first need is a political restructuring by virtue of which we would get good governance from our leaders. Those who gathered in Ibadan yesterday saw all the decadence in the southwestern part of Nigeria that the Yoruba resides, and they've not done anything about it. And now we're talking about political restructuring and dividing Nigeria. The problem we have currently is with good governance. We are not saying Nigeria should not be restructured, but we're saying that good governance should be demanded. Those who gathered in Ibadan yesterday should have made sure that good governance prevails in the southwest by virtue of some of us who now believe in them and follow them, that if Nigeria is properly restructured and we have regional governance, we also have a fair deal on the sort. What we need is a fair deal in government. Lautec has been shut down. Leaders in South, in Oyo and Osun, have kept quiet as Yoruba leaders. They've not said anything. Now they want us to believe that if we restructure Nigeria and we get regional government, such will be spoken of. We need leaders who can speak out for the people.
All right. Well, thank you very much. There, Shekwama Wumi on WhatsApp is saying, Okay, say so thanks for bringing this fire brand politician. There is no iota of truth in calls for restructuring, most especially in the southwestern part of the country. This part of the country is already in the hands of a single person. What will happen when they get sovereignty? It will be disastrous. And on Twitter, Nature Creation is saying, as much as I don't support the system APC is running, I say PDP had their days, but they blew it. The beautiful ones are not yet here. And Dami Distinctive is saying, Chief Femi Fanikari has spoken well about restructuring and strongly believe in regional government. Development is sure. Good morning. Thank you. And Prince Wale Atuba from Obagun also is saying on WhatsApp, but the imbalances and unjust distribution in power and resources sharing are the subject of discussion in true federalism. And restructuring is to share power between the central and its components. Considering dichotomy in religious, ethnicity and regional complexity in Nigeria, the restructuring is necessary and needful. The ovation of restructuring is at a peak now. And if the present federal government fails to change by having a second look at these, the agent of restructuring may change them. Thank you very much for those messages. That'll be the last one today. We appreciate you for joining us and staying with us all through this event-filled week on Frank Talk on Rave 91.7 FM. We'll be back here for another edition of the program on Monday. On behalf of the team and executive producer, I would like to say a big thanks to you once again. I ask you to have a super weekend. My name is Femi Olanipe. Do have a super weekend. Bye-bye.
Taking you to a whole new level. Rave 91.7 FM.
Papa, mama, if you not listen to me, yeah. Your building materials, uh-huh. An original title. Now, what's it don't be F? Now, them they sell them, then they don't class up. Then go do you better, eh? Hey. What's it don't be F?
Yes, Osidon PF Investment Company Limited. Now them they sell original tiles of different types. All of them are imported. Jacuzzi, massage bath, cubicle shower, etc. etc. Boku for Osidon PF. Plumbing materials in court, they get them plenty. All na original, including pumping machines there. You never finish, oh. Osidon PF, they sell different doors will be imported. Plus including bulletproof doors. Original PVC ceiling court, it did their plenty and in no cost. Got contractor. Oh yeah, forward match now. Go to Osidon PF Investment Company Limited. Then they for Dom Plaza, MBS Oshogo. Then tell you where you be. 0803-6662-161 or 0806058-2246. OC Dom PF. Now then be Baba for building and plumbing materials.
The Osun Indigenous Organization in the United States of America hereby announces the commencement of the year 2017 edition of its annual Bursary Award Program. Interested students of tertiary institutions who are indigenous of the following 15 local government areas and their local government council development areas are requested to collect the application forms as from September 11, 2017 from their AGA and LCDA headquarters. The affected local government areas are Ayedeade, Ayediri, Boluwaduro, Borikpe, Egbedore, Ejigbo, Ifedayo, Ifelodun, Ila, Irepodun, Iwo, Oduotin, Ola Oluwa, Olorunda, and Oshogbo. All application forms must be submitted with all necessary attachments on or before 30th September 2017 at the point of collection. You can make any clarification from 080-33-704327. Announcer, Biodun Balogun for Local Organizing Committee.
Who is your baby? So you have your dinner, can Larry Tasha that you want to say Pato?
Oh, Madame,
the Larry Father, Sheronimo Wapani.
10 men, but therefore, Tita, Tisha, Tusha, one attack really in
court.
Kiko, I went there with Toto Dumbesi, Eto Abuturo Toto, by Lucas Yoko, Omako, and Botami, Pamon up and
call.
Ben, Lila, what you call Bara, Uncle Toytamino, Totti for Missy, Ejam, Pomija, Baraya Shobu, give yourself a book, Bana, Mira, and what the Labara. Oh, yes,
I don't think you know.
Ejob by Yiko, Polopo, Kosisha, on Jafara Loku, Mamma, one day, we're not a very old man. Oh yes, take a quim. Oh, what for? I want to point job. Oh, my love, this one of us in your tunka. Pitch up by a crashes at Tusha when there was in job. Bello, Shetto, Ilera to do a funto in the Kalidu. Oh, when a wolf, I want to go to your fellow called you, Tiko Jai Balode. And you know what, baby, say you know, I bet you have to talk about what Roy that was okay. You know, so Bella, like that, Tunjo Bagaki, you know, so
I don't think you know. Do I be a Juno Jubon?
I want my Rico, your macho, that body be Tokusi, and where I can't see Jobasi, or don't like you know what I need to.
Here we go!
Three, two, one.
Now.
What's up, y'all? I'm Beyonce.
Hey, it's Bruno Mars.
What up, what up?
The future is here.
what I do best.
Believe me.